Those that are promoting today, amen. Those who are graduating and from your various schools, and for your promotions that are taking place here at Glenville New Life Community Church, because we're promoting you here as well in our youth worship church school program. Amen. But before we begin, let's join our hearts in prayer. Oh, gracious and almighty God, we say thank you. Thank you for your love, and we just worship you today. Lord, we thank you that you know all about us, our past, our present, our future, and you are the potter, and we are the clay, and you're continuing to make, mold, and shape us into the people of God you desire for us to be. And so, Lord, as you reshape each of our lives, and Lord, especially we lift up our promotees and our graduates, Lord, that you would just continue to mold them into the women, into the men that you desire for them to be. And for all of us, oh God, we ask that you would help us to trust your wisdom. So, Lord, we ask that you would bless the preaching of your word, and may we be not only hearers, but go forth to be doers as well. And it's in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, we all join together to say, amen and amen, amen. Speaking of youth worship, I want to share a few short letters written to God by students. And they were asked by their youth worship church school teacher to submit their letter. One letter goes, "Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in front of the church. Is that okay?" Neil. "Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you already got now?" Jane. "Dear God, I think the stapler is one of your greatest inventions." "Dear God, in Bible times, did they really talk that fancy?" That was Jennifer. "Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There are only four people in our family, and I can never do it." Nan. "Dear God, if you watch in church on Sunday, I will show you my new shoes." That was Mickey. "We read Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school they said you did it. So I bet he stole your idea." Sincerely, Donna. "Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with me and my brother." And the last one. "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother. But what I prayed for was a puppy." Joyce. Praise God. We say praise God to you students, and congratulations. Let's just give them a round of applause on your promotions, on your graduation. Amen. We're so proud of you. Now, Webster's Dictionary defines promote as to rise to a higher position or rank, and to further the growth or establishment of. Well, saints, the second part of the definition says that to promote someone or to promote something means to further the growth of, the establishment of. Now, saints, not only does God desire to bring us into a position of increased responsibility, everybody say increased responsibility, increased responsibility based on our willingness and our desire to serve the Lord, God is also focused on our continual growth, amen, and establishment as we are moving toward the place that God has for us. And when I think of how God does this, everything, saints, that God has placed within us is for the body of Christ. Whatever our talents, whatever our gifts, whatever our abilities, we are to use them for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And when God is actively promoting us, one of the things that God does is to bring us into the presence of others, where our gifts can be utilized, amen, and sometimes even appreciated. Well, together, let's read Proverbs 18:16. What does it say, saints? A gift opens the way for the giver. Amen. So when we use our gifts, everybody say, use our gifts. Use our talents. Amen. To help others, they become a gift to that person who is on the receiving end. And just a quick little example of that, when I was in Girl Scouts and we were camping, I had a talent and an ability that opened the way for me. Amen. I had a very good ability to spot bugs in the tent and dispose of them. And I was just so good at it, when people could see how good they wanted me, well, we want her in our tent. We want her in our tent. And I think I got so good at it because when I do get bit, since I'm allergic to everything that bites me, and it takes weeks sometimes for me to recover from a little bite, I've gotten very good at, you know, I'll put it nice, disposing of bugs that I see, amen. So that gift opened the way for me so that everybody wanted me to be in their tent. The saints, when you are willing to use your gifts for God, amen, God will be like a promoter for you. Hallelujah. Making sure that you receive opportunity to use your gifts, your abilities, and your talents. Now that is one of the definitions of promote. Having someone to push you forward. And in this message, we're not going to focus on God promoting us to others like an agent does. But today, saints, our focus is on what God desires to do within us. Everybody say within us. Amen. Within us. To bring us to a higher, a stronger place, amen, that God wants us to be. Well, let's look at the first part of the definition, promote. It says to promote means to rise to a higher position or rank. It is something that is earned or given to you based on your accomplishments. All right, let me share another story. A class of high school sophomores who had been assigned a term paper. Now, the day of reckoning had come. The papers were due to be handed in. The teacher knew that that particular student named Jay had not been working steadily on his paper as the others had in the class. He was prepared for some sort of excuse. She knew that. So when the teacher went to collect the papers, Jay said, "My dog ate it." The teacher, who had heard them all, amen, teachers, gave Jay a stare of unbelief. But Jay insisted and he persisted. "It's true, it's true. I had to force him, but he did eat it." We all know that in order, amen, to move from one grade to another, you had to do the work, amen, to pass the test, amen. If you did not pass enough tests to show that you had learned what you were supposed to, then you were going to fail, amen. You were going to have to repeat that grade again. If you did the work and demonstrated that you did have an understanding of the requirements, you completed it, you can go to the next higher grade. So the important thing to remember is that you could not get promoted unless you learn what you were supposed to learn, amen. Well, why does it work this way? Well, as you move up in the grades, young people, the lessons in life become harder and harder, amen. The text lessons become harder and harder because they keep taking you to the next level. And every time you get promoted to another grade, the expectation was that you learn the information you were supposed to learn that year because you got to continue building upon that the next year, amen. And there were certain experiences and accomplishments that you had in order to meet the requirements that deserve promotion. Whatever it took, there was a process. Everybody say process. Process. So to get ready for the promotion. So whether, say, you were promoted at school or some of us promoted on the job, once you received that promotion, you had to be ready. Amen. Amen. In school, you had to be ready to start learning, ready to start performing at a higher level. And not only you had to remember what you learned from previous grades, because you had to apply that knowledge to what you were learning now. And you keep on building and building and building. Now, for we adults, we all know that promotion on the job means that we're going to receive new responsibilities, right? Amen. Maybe you become a supervisor to people that you did not supervise before. Whatever your situation, with the promotion came increased responsibility. And it is the same way with God. God desires to promote us, saints, in the things that God has planned for us individually and even corporately together. But first we have to prove that we're ready by passing the test. Amen. Now it would not be in our best interest to be promoted before we were ready, because we certainly would fail. All right. So indeed, God has a desire to promote us, to bring us to a stronger, higher place, so that God can fully utilize us, our gifts, our talents, for the work God has called us to do. Now together, let's read Proverbs 9:9. You have it? Here we go. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. Hallelujah. I want you to tell your neighbor right now, neighbor, you look wiser than you did a year ago. You look wiser than you did a year ago. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has a desire, saints, to bring us to a stronger place, to bring us to a higher place, so that God can fully utilize us to do the work God has called us to do. Now, for a special reminder of what it will take for every promotee, every graduate, I want every graduate to take a good look at what we call this candy product known as M&M's. All right. This simple little product, saints, has been one of the best-selling candy products for many years. It is one of the rare treats that's enjoyed by both grandparents, great-grandparents, children. Everybody loves M&M's. Now, they are known for three qualities. They have tasty chocolate inside. Amen. They've got a hard candy. All right. Evelyn loves them. She is just a chocolate. So she loves her M&M's. A hard coating on the outside. Amen. And it also has a mark on it. All right. Where that mark can be seen. Now, Pastor Rick, he often watches a show on TV, and it shows how various products are made that we consume. And I don't even know the name of the show, but oftentimes it is interesting. So one day they were showing how M&M's are made. The milk chocolate in M&M's is poured into molds as they move along a conveyor belt. And even though the chocolate is tasty, what makes M&M's different from other chocolate candies is that it's spread with that coating, that hard shell on the outside. And they're moved in large batches of 2.6 million each daily. That's a lot of M&M's. Then they are sifted, and those that are too soft, or maybe they're misshapen or some kind of malformed, they look all funny or something, then they are pushed out of the process. And while they're batched together for spraying and hardening, there is a point that each M&M has to get that distinctive M stamped on it. So when that happens, each individual candy, each individual what, it is separated on this conveyor belt, and it gets its own M stamped on it. And then they are packaged and shipped all over the world as the candy that melts in our mouths, but not in our heads. Amen, amen. And so I say to you today, Christian graduates and Christian promotees, like M&M candy, you have the right stuff inside of you. Hallelujah. Young people, the maturity process, it calls for you, along with the rest of the promotees and graduates of your generation, to enter into a period in which your beliefs, your values, your lifestyle will be shaped and solidified. So along the way, the sifting process continues, and it continues. And the Christian graduate, the Christian promotee, begins a journey that he or she hopes will be pleasing to God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus, for it is God's will, amen, God's well done, good and faithful servant, that signifies a life well spent. That's what you want to hear, well done. So now along the way, amen, as the sifting process continues, how many here know there's going to be many distractions for you? There's going to be many temptations along the way, amen. Oh, my goodness. It takes tenacity to finish what we start because there's so many competing distractions in our lives. There are many battles throughout the Christian life. In fact, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's a daily battle. It is just a daily battle. It is a daily battle. What are the distractions? Distractions are anything that gets our attention off of what it should be on. Amen. Amen. That's what a distraction is. And one thing for sure, saints, is that life is a battle from beginning to end. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 6:12, and let's look at that together. Amen. Tells us that struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world. Let's read that together. We are called to make a kingdom impact. Amen. Here we go. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Amen. Young people, your pastors, your youth worship teachers, your church family, we want you to know that your family, we love you, and that we have helped you to get this far in life. But without some effort on your part, you would not be graduating today. You would not be promoting today. That path of success that you are on is yours for the taking. It's yours. But what you have to decide is whether or not you're going to choose to leave the path of success looking for some kind of shortcut, looking for some kind of easy way to get through. Young people, the path that leads to your destruction, it never has a big sign on it saying, come this way to mess your life up. This is the way to get into deep trouble. It don't have a sign like that. It usually says something more glamorous, you know, like, you need some quick money? Or, you want to have some fun? Or, you want to get your parents off your back? Or, ooh, baby, I really love you. All right, that's more of what it's like. And almost everybody says to head down the road of destruction, plans to get off of it just in time before the crash. All right, I'll just try this cigarette. I'll just try this smoke. I'll just take a sip of alcohol. I'll just have sex just for a little while. But saints, unfortunately, we all have somebody in our families that did not make it back from the crash. They tell us, please don't make the same mistake that I did. But you know, many of us, we got deaf ears. It's almost like, whoa, 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 hello, you talking to me? Oh, I don't hear a thing. I got deaf ears. Don't you see these earplugs and these music things in my ears? Just because it happened to you don't mean it's going to happen to me. I'm really not listening. But young people, we, your pastors, your church family, we want you all to be wise enough to recognize that, yes, it could happen to you. It could, unless you make the decision to make wise choices with your life. Hallelujah. For example, I'm going to share a few action steps, young people. Practice saying yes, hallelujah, to God. Let's all just look to the Lord and say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Practice saying yes to God. Practice saying yes to God's priorities for your life. And the best way not to be distracted is by being attracted to the things that God loves. Being attracted to those things that are the heart of God. Hallelujah. And once we're aware of what those things are, what God loves and the passion of God's heart, then we too become attracted to them. And we need to commit all of us, ourselves, to a life of devotion and complete commitment. So practice saying yes to God's priorities. And then practice saying no. No. Say no to the devil's distractions. Everybody say no to the devil. This time look down. No to the devil. No. No. Amen. No. No. Friends, another one of the most helpful things that we can do to say no to help us resist temptation is to remember that God has called each of us to a great task. Look to your neighbor right now and say, you have been called to a great task. You've been called to a great task. That helps us to say no to the devil's distractions. This is true of every believer in Christ. We are called to make a kingdom impact. Hallelujah. It was a great thing that our youth chose for this year. Kingdom living. Kingdom impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. So saints, instruction in God's Word. Opening God's Word. Reading it. Studying it. Come up to Bible study. We're to do this on our own. We're to come and listen to the preaching of God's Word. And to be involved in one of the small groups or several of the small groups. Life sharing, pioneers, youth worship, young ladies of faith, young men of arms, true love waits, spiritual journey, men who excel, sisters in the Lord, Mary sensation. It just goes on. We got it all here, praise God. These small groups and others that we offer here at Glenville New Life will help equip you. They will help support you to be able to stand bold, amen. To be able to say, no, devil, you a lie, get behind me. And be able to pursue your godly dreams and visions, giving God all the glory and praise for your life. So as Christian saints, we strive to pace our lives in a way that our lives will be pleasing to God, amen, and well spent. Well, now, looking at our New Testament text, amen, it focuses on the Apostle Paul as he explains the importance of each person living his or her life according to the measure that God gives. All right, Paul had been given a specific mission by God, and it was to open the doors of opportunity in the faith to those who had never heard it before. He was to take the gospel message where no one had gone before, amen, charting new frontiers and horizons. And that's how Paul got to Corinth. His journey started in the book of Acts. Amen. And we see there he got into trouble for preaching the gospel. Paul ended up in jail. And when he got out of jail, he went to the next city, which was Thessalonica. Again, he started preaching about Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. And people got mad. They drove him out of Thessalonica. Then the next city he went to was Berea. And once again, he got into trouble for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a riot started. They just got so upset about him preaching about Christ. And he had to leave there that night. And he was taken down to Athens, which was about 50 miles to the east of Corinth. And there he preached on Mars Hill. Amen. I tell you, Paul was just such a dedicated brother. There he was, just alone, armed with nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit. How many know that's all we need, amen, is the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And he began to preach again about the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the city. And out of this came the Corinthian church. Praise God. And in the passage, Paul responds to the critics who are critical of his physical appearance and doubted his abilities. And he says in verses 7 through 11, he concluded that God had given him a measure or an assignment to complete, and he was not in competition with anybody else, only to complete the assignment and the life work that God had given him to do. So while others would have the task of building up the kingdom and other things that God would have them do, Paul remained loyal to his task, amen, of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ in distant regions. Looking at verses 16 and 17, Paul rejects the notion of boasting in another person's accomplishment, but he chooses to boast only in respect to his own accomplishments of the task that is set before him. And it was a task for which he had been given special abilities, special gifts, amen, for which God had opened up many doors for Paul to succeed in completing that task. He had a good gift inside, just like these M&Ms, all right? It was good in there. And Paul suggested that in the final analysis, everybody say final analysis, each person would be measured by his or her use of the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given to each of us, and not by what anybody else has done or doing. In Romans 12, 3 through 6, not only he talks about, I don't have the big head, nobody should think of themselves more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God has given to everyone the measure of faith. So saints, each of us, say each of us has a unique gifts. Each of us, we have differing gifts, praise God. Isn't that exciting? And the final glory, it all goes to God. Hallelujah. And we see over and over in Scripture, Paul was tested and he was hardened in his mission. Amen. He developed a hard shell like these M&M candies. He developed this hard shell to personal attacks against him. A hard shell against the danger and fear that he might would have felt. It was almost like he was immune to insult. He had such a good hard coating, amen, from hated words and being beat. And it led him to reach the conclusion in Romans 8, 38 and 39. Paul says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah! Paul had the approval of God, saints, amen. And Paul's message, his mission in life, had God's blessings upon him. And he used his gifts. He used them wisely, amen, within the measure that God had given him. Together, let's read Philippians 3:14. For we see Paul's quest was to reach the mark. Amen. See, the mark, every M&M has a mark. To reach the mark and obtain the prize. And here it was. What does he say? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. So we say thank you. And then he goes on. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give not only to me, but to all that love his appearing. Amen. So saints, likewise, graduates, promotees, strive to simulate the processes of Paul's life. Study the Apostle Paul. Look at the things that made him confident and see how God would reward him. And that process involves, everybody say this with me, put the good stuff inside. Amen. Put the good stuff inside. Every one of us has some ability, gift, and talent given to us from God. And it is that unique talent, and it is that ability, that personality trait that is unique and identifiable. The ability, whether it is to sing or to dance, or whether it is to be artistic, or whether it means to have the gift of healing or verbal communication. I mean, it's just so many gifts and talents. It's just awesome what God has done. And the purpose for each of these gifts among us saints is so the recipient may use them to build and to further the kingdom of God. That's why we've each been given a gift. And when used in that way, God blesses that gift immensely, amen, and makes life very satisfying. Oh, how sweet you are, Lord Jesus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, amen. And every one of us has a responsibility to perfect that gift, to perfect that talent or that ability that God has given to us, to make sure that there's something very good inside. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Make sure that there's good stuff inside. Now, the second thing is what? Developing a hard shell. Amen. Developing a hard shell, like the Apostle Paul, means becoming immune to negative comments. You know, you don't have to react back in a negative way and carry on. And you know what? You don't have to be involved in any ungodly activities because you've got this the shell. And it also means developing a firm and solid belief system, a value system, a lifestyle. Amen. Principles and beliefs adopted during this period, young people, they generally will last you through a lifetime. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. So developing a hard shell, like the M&M candy, amen, is what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he says in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, that we should put on the whole armor of God, amen. We gotta have the shell on, praise God, that you may be able to stand up against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's why we have to have a hard shell. And the hard shell that is developed is not hard in the way that nobody can get to us or nobody can touch us on the inside. You know, because all that good stuff is in there. And so we don't have this hard shell so that nobody can get to the good stuff. It is hard enough, though, to be able to resist damaging things that will come our way. Damaging influences, damaging distractions, amen. And yet, we can remain soft enough on the inside, saints, to just keep that sweet flavor going on in there, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. A hard shell doesn't mean we've got a bitter attitude. It don't mean we got a negative attitude. It doesn't mean that. Just as these M&Ms melt in our mouths and not in our hands, each of us with a hard shell, we know when to say yes and we know when to say no. That's right. That's what a hard shell will do for you. Let's practice that. Yes, no. Hallelujah. Amen. We love you today, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise your name today, Lord Jesus. And saints, you young people, your pastors, your youth worship teachers, your whole church family, your family, we have been installing in you, amen, the reality that you are somebody. You are somebody with great potential to make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ. Every one of you has a unique gene makeup inside of you that is different from every other person on the face of this world. You are uniquely created and uniquely gifted. God made you one of a kind. Amen. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God made you one of a kind. God made you one of a kind. One of a kind. And you owe it to yourself. You owe it to everybody else to reach your full potential in life. Hallelujah. So as you graduate, as you promote onward, be focused, stay strong, and give God first place in your life, young people. Hallelujah. And God will help you fly toward the prize. God will help you experience all the various joys that God has prepared for you. Confident in the gifts and abilities that you, young people, have been blessed with. All right, everybody, high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, soar into greatness. Soar into greatness. Soar into greatness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Let's join our hearts in prayer.